Henry Ward Beecher said, "Love is the river of life in the world." So today, let us pour ourselves into that river, that the banks of the world might be flooded with love. And today, may we bathe in that river, so that our very beings might be drenched with love. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website, where you can sign up for The Link, our weekly email newsletter, and learn all sorts of things going on in this congregation as well as the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have the playground down front, lovingly staffed nursery care. Good morning to everybody in the nursery. And we have Sunday school after the word for all ages. All right, got a lot going on. I got a lot of announcements. Are you with me? At home, hope you ate your Wheaties this morning. It is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and so we have this beautiful Thanksgiving harvest table put together by Carolyn. If you are in person, I invite you to check it out after worship. It is just beautiful. Thank you, Carolyn, for doing that. We are in the middle of our Imagine Together campaign as we think about what financial commitments each of us can make for the year ahead and reflect on what God is calling us to accomplish together. We have had an amazing response. We already have 9 new pledges for next year. I know, that's amazing. We would love everybody to join in. We have a couple members of the generosity team here today. Gail's already up in the balcony. Bill is standing up on the floor. You can see him in the aisle. And Bill has extra sustainer forms if you want to grab him after worship and fill one out. Folks at home, reach out to me and I'll connect you to the generosity team. All right, you still with me? I am so excited about our next Pub Theology, December 4th at 7 p.m. It is going to be at 7 South Bottle and Kitchen. I just want to point out I got the name right this time. 7 South Bottle and Kitchen with Elliott Church from South Natick. But you must sign up. So see the info in the link or email me or Sarah Lynn. I know you cannot believe it, but it is almost December. The good thing is that means Advent begins in just 1 week. It is the beginning of the new year from the liturgical sense, and there are so many special programs happening at FCC Natick because of that. We begin with Hanging the Greens next Saturday, November 30th at 1 p.m. I think we even have a slide about that. Then the next day, we're going to light the outdoor Advent wreath after worship. Then the next Sunday, next weekend, on Saturday, December 7th, we've got the Living Creche and Carols at 3 p.m. And the day after that, December 8th, is Invite a Friend to Breakfast and the Pageant. So much going on. Phew! You better get one of our devotionals because you're going to need an opportunity to, like, relax and unwind. Sarah Lynn, I can't remember where the devotionals are. Where are they? So we will have the devotionals out for coffee hour or just, you know, barge into Sarah Lynn's office. And folks at home, we can get one to you or we can get you the link of a PDF. All right, you still there? I got 2 more things. They both involve food. Do we like food? All right. Today, after worship, is our book and bake sale for Advent. Lots of things to look at and lots of things to eat. This is an FCCN fundraiser. Huge thanks to Sharon for putting this together. And worship is going to run a little long today. I decided you needed 10 extra minutes of peace, love, and joy. If you need to leave or tune out at 11:30, I totally understand. Go do what you need to do. For those of you on site who are able to stay, there will be chocolate at this door to reward you for staying. Folks at home, you get snacks anytime you want. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your body, mind, and spirit, deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him. But they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light." The light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light.
Good morning. I'm Wayne. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, "God calls us, beloved." In the midst of the world's demands,
"God calls us, beloved."
When we doubt our very worth,
"God calls us, beloved."
From our first breath to our last,
"God calls us, beloved."
Repeating it until we believe it, our opening hymn is number 327, "I Was There to Hear Your Morning Cry." You are invited to rise in body or spirit. Our centering prayer this morning is by the poet David White. We begin with a little bit of silence, room to breathe in and out. letting ourselves settle into this place, opening up to receive what God offers in this time. Let us pray. Enough. These few words are enough. If not these words, this breath. If not this breath, this sitting here. This opening to the life we have refused again and again. Until now. Until now. Seeking to be fully present here and now, we share together words Jesus offered to us. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen. In a world that is so full of conflict, it is healing for us to come together, both on site and online. We are seeking to create true sanctuary together. We reveal our hopes for peace and our need for peace as we offer peace to each other. Then we'll sing our song of celebration. God's peace be with you.
Oh,
Our scripture reading this morning is the story of Jesus' baptism. It appears in all four Gospels, with a few differences, but a lot of overlap. In every version, Jesus is baptized as an adult. In our church, we tend to baptize young children, welcoming them into the beloved community.
In Jesus' time, there were religious leaders who offered a cleansing ritual to adults. People would literally be dunked into the water of a nearby river, symbolically washing away the mistakes of their past and entering into a new life. One of those leaders just happened to be Jesus' cousin. His name was John. John is on our altar table this morning, one of Carolyn's beautiful creche figures. John was so into baptism that he was actually known as John the Baptizer. In fact, that's how this passage starts.
Hear these words from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance and for the forgiveness of sins.
Told ya.
And there went out to him all the country of Judea and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins.
Now, John was a popular guy. Everybody was traveling out of the city to be baptized by him. But there were other people out there doing the same thing. Wayne, what was so special about John?
Now, John was clothed with camel's hair and had a leather girdle around his waist and ate locusts and honey.
Ah, John was quirky. Baptism and a show.
And John preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I. The thong of those sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit."
Okay, wait a minute. So John is this popular baptizer, but he says there's somebody bigger and better on the way. And that person won't use water to baptize, but the Spirit, which is kind of confusing, because how do you dunk somebody in spirit? But more importantly, who could this bigger and better baptizer be? Any guesses? Wait. Any guesses? Jesus could be. Let's see.
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan.
You were right. Jesus has traveled to see his cousin, and John has immersed Jesus into the water.
And when Jesus came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove.
I have to tell you, I am not sure what that means. The heavens opened. Did the clouds part and the sun came out, or something even more amazing? And there's that Spirit again, now coming to Jesus. Even if I don't know what that looked like, it sounds beautiful and amazing. Is there any more, Wayne?
Yes. Here's how Jesus' baptism ends. "And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased.'"
A voice from heaven. That would be God. Jesus' baptism ends with the declaration that God loves him, is pleased with him, just as he is. That is the message of baptism, then and now.
These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and the wisdom to live them.
Amen. We have the joy today of celebrating a baptism. Children of the congregation, both in person over there in the playground and online, it is very important that you are here. We will be asking you to make promises, taking on a big responsibility.
And for those of you in godly play today, you will be talking about baptism, so you're going to want to watch closely to share what you see when you gather. All right? So, kids over there, you don't have to, but oh yeah, Miss Amy's going to be your teacher today, so she's all ready for this, so she might even help you look at what's going to happen. From the beginning of time, men and women have brought their children to religious communities to be baptized and blessed. In the presence of family, friends, and the spiritual community, children are given their names, and parents and godparents declare their responsibility and commitment to their children. Amen. We have gathered together for such a purpose today to bless and baptize he who has already said yes, Theo Chenjuin Kaneale'izu. In celebration of the light of God that dwells within Theo, Sarah Lynn will light a candle for his baptism. As Theo comes forward with his parents, Marie and Johnny, and his godparents, Vincent and Stephanie. You can come forward now.
Hear these words by W. Waldemar W. Argon. We are your children. Out of the infinite, we have come to you and through you. We are the old, yet ever new miracle of incarnation. Give us a chance to grow within the warmth of your unfailing love into souls sensitive to beauty, hearts open to love, and hungry for the imperishable values of life. Do not shrink and wither us with fear, but quicken with faith the springs of courage within us.
Johnny and Marie, in bringing Theo to be baptized and blessed, you acknowledge that this child is a gift from the universe entrusted to your care. And you invite all of us to share some of the joy and responsibility that is yours as parents. You seek our support in your dedication to the task of fostering with love and guidance the fullest unfolding of the personality of your child. This ceremony reflects not only your gratitude for the child who has come into your family, but your understanding of the seriousness of the responsibilities you have undertaken as parents. So do you now commit yourselves to the best of your ability to parent this child with compassion, respect, patience, and love? Will you accept him and cherish him for who he is and who he will become? Will you help him to believe in himself and in the goodness of the world? Do you promise to do everything within your power to strengthen and guide him on a path of peace, generosity, respect, and compassion? If so, please answer, I will.
I will.
The act of choosing godparents is an ancient tradition, based on the wisdom that no matter how dedicated parents are, no one can raise a child alone. Both parents and children need the support and friendship of other loving adults. Marie and Johnny have chosen Vincent and Stephanie to be Theo's godparents. Stephanie and Vincent, by agreeing to be Theo's godparents, you are agreeing to a special relationship with him. Do you now commit yourselves to the best of your ability to be a friend, mentor, and teacher to Theo throughout his life? Will you accept him and cherish him for who he is and who he will become? Will you help him to believe in himself and in the goodness of the world? If so, please answer, I will.
I will.
Thank you. Theo is lucky to be surrounded by family today, not just his parents and godparents, but also grandparents and great-grandparents. Theo's great-grandparents, Louise and Charlie, and grandparents, Jan, Dwayne, and Jackie, would you raise your hands for me? You have loved not only this child, but also his parents, with a love that survived and grew through every phase and awkward stage, through sleepless nights of worry, through accomplishment and joy. Your children are on a journey you know well. Bless them and your grandchild with your wisdom, presence, and support. To Theo's grandparents and great-grandparents, I ask, do you pledge unconditional love, abounding playtime, understanding ears, and sanctuary within your very arms? If so, please say we do. Amen. you may put your hands down. I just wanted them to know who was taking responsibility down here.
It is a joyous moment when we join with children and parents in the celebration of baptism. Would the congregation rise in body or spirit? Children are not possessions to own, but blessings entrusted to families and communities to care for and to nurture. As the spiritual community of this child, it is right that you accept a measure of responsibility to care for him and for his parents. Do you, the members of the congregational family, receive Theo into your love and care? Do you join his parents, Marie and Johnny, in sharing responsibility to nurture the character and spirit of this flowering new person? And do you offer the sheltering arms of this fellowship to these parents and this child? If so, I invite you to declare the promise printed in the bulletin and on the screen together. Theo, we welcome you into the family of faith. God grant you strength for life's journey, joy in your faith, the freedom of love, and the hope of new life in Jesus Christ, who makes us one. You may be seated. Now, I invite all the children who are here to stand.
And this would be 18 and
so
under, I think.
So anybody who thinks maybe you could be a child, someone who's still in school maybe. Ryan, that's you. There we go. I've got them all. Come on, Sam. I'm waiting for you. All right. Yes. Okay. So you are closest to Theo in age, even Sam and Ryan. And we'll be working, playing, and learning side by side with him. As he grows, he will look to you. Will you be his friend? Will you be kind and fair to him? Will you show him the best in you that he may discover the best in himself? If you promise to do these things, please answer, I will. Thank you. You may be seated. Okay.
Just say the line that I'm going to show Theo to the congregation.
Reverend Cindy's going to present Theo to the congregation.
Theo, this is your community of faith. They are here to support and love you and often put you to work. They will be so glad when you are hanging out in the playground. And we are not a hushing congregation, so when you roll pencils and cars and things like that, they are going to count that as joyful noise and be glad to hear it, because they are so glad that you see this as your community of faith. And I want you to be sure I'm not taking you very far from your mom as we walk over here. This is as far as we are going, so folks over here get a chance to say hello to you and greet you. Now, we have some things in this congregation we think you'll really like. We are thinking that godly play, you will really love the storytelling that we do there, but let's be honest, the best part is feast. And then there will be the opportunity to do things like Our Whole Lives, where you will learn about yourself and the world. One of our favorite things is West Virginia Work Camp. Sam's going to tell you all about that later. Welcome, Theo, to your community of faith. I'm going to pass him back for a couple minutes. There you go. Yeah. Okay, thank you. After the ancient custom, we use water in our celebration. This is the messy part, guys. You're going to want to watch this. This is the same water from so many scripture stories. It speaks of the affinity we have to the natural order. It's a sign of purity. It quenches the body's thirst. Quite literally, it sustains life. In this rite, it symbolizes the water of life abundant, for which humankind has thirsted through all the ages. Let us join together in prayer to bless the waters of baptism. God, whose love flows like water, swirl around us with your joy. Flood us with your hope. Let us drift on your peace. God, whose love flows like water, you surround each of us in an ocean of love and connect us one to the other, creating a dynamic family. God, whose love flows like water, you are the clear, cool pond that cleanses and refreshes our body, mind, and spirit, making us new. God, whose love flows like water, bless this water by your Spirit. Let it be a symbol for us all, and especially for Theo, that you are the water of life. Amen.
Amen.
All right. One more time, Theo. One more time. One more time. It's okay. I'm not taking you so far this time. What did you have for breakfast? Did you have rocks for breakfast? Yes, you sweet boy. What name have you chosen for this child? Theo Chenjuin Kaneale'izu, your name was chosen for you with care and love. In this circle of friends and family, you are named Theo Chenjuin Kaneale'izu. May your name be spoken with love throughout all your years. Theo, I baptize you in the name of God the Father and the Son. And you baptize yourself too, and the Holy Spirit, and I dedicate you to a life of beauty, truth, and love in abundance. Amen.
We have a book that we will give to Theo that speaks about how special Theo is and how beloved he is, and the dream and possibilities that God has for Theo. So let's bring our hearts together to pray for Theo. God, who is creative love, we thank you for the gift of this child to love, this life to share, this mind to inspire, this body to nurture, this spirit to enrich. Let us never betray this child's trust, dampen this child's hope, or discourage this child's dreams. Help us, dear God, to help this child become all you mean him to be. Be with those you've sent to care for Theo, God. Bless his parents and his godparents. Help them to show their love and care for this child every day of Theo's life. Let your grace and love fall on Theo like gentle breezes and give him inner strength and peace and joy for the journey ahead. Amen.
We extinguish Theo's baptismal candle, knowing the light of God continues to burn brightly in his very being. And as our kids get ready for Sunday school, may they feel that light within them, a source of comfort and peace. Amen. Okay, you can clap now if you want to. Well done. Oh, yeah, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You can see. Oop, I'm attached. Congratulations.
Thank you.
John knew what his job was. It wasn't to create the biggest desert synagogue with standing room only whenever he spoke. It wasn't to start a fashion trend making itchy camel's hair vests go viral. It wasn't to overthrow the oppressive and immoral political authorities. The king will kill him 5 chapters later. John's job was to baptize, one person after another, in the murky waters of the Jordan River. Again and again, welcome the person, lean them back into the water, bring them up again, promising them God's blessing. Now, Scripture doesn't say if John ever got bored with his job, if he developed carpal tunnel syndrome from lifting all those wet people, if he ever wondered if he was really making a difference. It sounds like John was well aware of the limitations of his job, that he was just baptizing with water, not with the Holy Spirit like some people might. However he felt, John did his job again and again, which meant he was the right person, in the right place, at the right time, when his cousin came to the edge of the Jordan. John didn't let an inferiority complex keep him from giving Jesus what he needed. John did what he did so well. He welcomed Jesus, he leaned him back into the water, brought him up again, promised God's blessing. God did the fancy stuff, opening the heavens, sending the Spirit, proclaiming belovedness, the stuff God always does at baptism, even if we don't perceive it. But first, John had to do his job. And then Jesus could do his. John baptized Jesus, passing God's blessing along to him, which meant Jesus could take that blessing and pass it along to everyone he met. John welcomed and held and blessed Jesus, and then Jesus welcomed and held and blessed others. Because that's what blessings are for. To pass them from person to person until all know they are God's beloved. That blessing that John gave Jesus has been passed from person to person for thousands of years until it came to rest this morning on Theo. From John to Jesus to millions of people in between, and now Theo. I wonder how Theo will use that blessing. How it will shape his life, this knowledge that he is loved just as he is. How that blessing will grow as he sees how much the world needs that blessing. How Theo will pass that blessing along like John passed it to Jesus. Theo has his own job now. I mean, in addition to like growing and learning how to bounce a ball and making his parents laugh, it's now Theo's job to pass along the blessing, the one that John gave to Jesus and we gave to Theo. And at this moment today, we cannot predict how Theo will be the right person in the right place at the right time for somebody who desperately needs that blessing. We can only imagine how the blessing Theo passes along might change the world. Of course, that's the job for all of us, baptized today or not, to pass the blessing along to others. This is our job, more than ever. Especially if you're feeling at all frustrated or worried or hopeless in the face of the world, our job is to pass along the blessing of God's love to the next person. Not all the people, we can't reach that far, just the next person, like John did, and Jesus, and us this morning with Theo. I know, sometimes it's hard to settle for what we can do rather than what we wish we could do, but that's our job, like John, like Theo, to give the next blessing. Sometimes that looks like an email sent to a public official under attack to give them support as a human being who deserves compassion and respect. Sometimes that looks like making dinner for a family going through a hard time. Sometimes that looks like giving money to an organization that's going to fight for what you believe. Sometimes that looks like joining a march to show there's a critical mass for justice. Sometimes that looks like sitting in silence, inviting God into your mind, your heart, your life. Sometimes that looks like having a hard conversation, trying to understand another. Sometimes that looks like an afternoon on the couch, taking care of yourself. Our job is not to do it all. But not doing it all doesn't mean doing nothing. It means we give the next blessing. From John to Jesus to us, one after another, after another, until all the world someday, is full of God's love. Amen.
As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share yours aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with joys this morning. What joys do you bring to this place? Pam. Pam is celebrating the joy of Theo and his family.
And those cute little cheeks, right?
No, he was nodding. He was like, yes, I am blessed, so blessed. That's what I saw. Other joys this morning. Doug. Doug is lifting up, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit more in a few minutes, but the awesome events from the last couple days, the Walnut Hill concert on Thursday night, the Chamber concert on Friday, and the dinosaurs and rabid raccoons in this room yesterday. I feel so bad for anybody who was here yesterday because this worship service is ridiculously boring compared to the experience of yesterday, but huge thanks to everybody who put all that work together. Yeah, Heather. Oh, Heather is lifting up college-age children home for the holidays. Heather is lifting it up as a joy. For those of you for whom it might be a concern, we hold you in prayer as well. Good morning, Marie. Marie is lifting up the joy of community and the experience of having Theo welcomed with open arms and hearts. Thanks, Marie. Gail, do you have any joys up there? I have one. Declan is home. Declan is, if you don't know Declan is a 6-year-old member of this congregation who had a bump removed from his neck, actually had to have 2 surgeries this past week. Declan, if you are watching, we are sending you lots of love, and we are so glad you are home. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Linda. Prayers from Kim for Enid and her family. We hold Enid and her family in prayers. Thank you. Thank you, Linda. Rick. Rick's friend Amy had a fall and hurt her shoulder. We are holding Amy in our prayers for healing. Heather. Yeah, Heather's lifting up such an important thing. For so many households, we're coming into a holiday season where there will be empty seats around the table. And it might be an empty seat because somebody has died in the last year and they're really missing them. It could be because somebody can't be there because they are far away or they're serving in the military. It might be empty because of conflict in the family. For whatever reason those empty seats are there, we hold each other in our hearts. Thanks, Heather. Rachel. Rachel, can you share your uncle's name?
Art.
Rachel's uncle, Art, has just received a cancer diagnosis, and they are already talking about getting the help of hospice. While that is certainly hard to just be getting this news and moving in that direction, we continue to be grateful for the support hospice provides and hope that is a healing experience. Yeah, thanks. Pam. We hold, and it's 24-hour care now. We all different people. So we hold Pam's mom in our prayers as she is, we're grateful that she's now home after a bad fall, but she still needs a lot of care. And so we hold Lois in our hearts for that, but also for Pam, who has a whole bunch of different people circulating through the house as they help care for her mom. So we hold both of you in our prayers. Thanks, Pam. Gail, do you have any concerns up there? I have a few more. So one of my concerns is the for folks who are local to Natick, the amount of conflict in the community I'm seeing, particularly not best behavior online, the way people are talking about each other and targeting public officials, especially in regard to migrants in our community. I'm also holding in prayer John Lilly this morning, former pastor from this congregation. As folks might recall, he is in treatment for cancer. It's not going well. He's not doing well. So we are holding John and his wife Shirley in our prayers. And also Peter and Mindy. Peter's mom, Aphrodite, died Friday morning. Peter had been out there for about a week, and Mindy was there when she died. They had some precious time together the last days and hours of Aphrodite's life. So we're grateful for that, and we hold both of them in prayer. Holding all this, knowing the whole point is we don't hold it alone. We breathe deeply, and we come together in prayer. Spirit of love, come close. See where we are hurting and where we're hurting each other. Show us a new path, a way of shalom. Help us believe that we are beloved and see the same belovedness in those around us. Bring us together with all our beauty and rich variety, so we can move closer to the world as you intended it to be. Amen. As Doug mentioned, this past week we made huge progress on our goal of inviting the community into our renovated sanctuary. This year, we will be hosting Sound and Spirit's winter concert, and they had their first rehearsal in this space on Wednesday. The songs and the singers were full of joy. And then on Friday, an old favorite returned as we hosted Metro West Chamber Players. Huge thanks to Tom for coordinating that. And Thursday night, the Walnut Hill School for the Arts held their first chorus concert here with a crowd of well over 100 people in attendance on a rainy night. And when the Walnut Hill students arrived earlier that evening, I was helping them find their way through the building. One of the kids saw one of our many rainbow signs promising all are welcome. They yelled out to another student, pointing at the sign, "See, we'll be okay here." Minutes later, the chorus was lined up on the dais with a rainbow alleluia hanging over their heads. In all the flurry to prepare for these musical groups, I forgot that some folks might be stepping into a church with trepidation, even for a concert. Especially our transgender siblings, as their right to exist and use the bathroom is at risk in the very building that represents democracy. Many of us walk around this building and don't even see the open and affirming signage anymore. We're so used to it. But for many, it is a sign of safety and hope, the incarnation of our belief that all people carry the divine spark. None of this is possible without your generosity. The building to hold the concert, the pastor to open the doors, the flags and posters declaring love for our LGBTQIA siblings and selves. So as we participate in the spiritual discipline of the offering this morning, as you look into the offering plate or at home in your own cupped hands, may we see the beautiful faces of all the kids, like Theo, like those at the concert, who need us to keep publicly declaring our love and God's.
Thank you.
God of abundance, bless these gifts, and especially those who will see them as signs of hope in the world. Amen. Our closing hymn is, I think, Restless Weaver. Nope, Won't You Let Me Be Your Servant, 374. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I just want to say this doesn't really count as a worship service going long. I don't know how we did it, but I'll still give you chocolate. Beloved, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God give you peace in your going out and your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until we come to stand before God in that day, in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Go in peace. Amen.